Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, what's up? You rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. You are rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Yes, I am your host with the most. That's me, Coach Lee, in the place to be, doing what I do each and every Monday. 52 weeks out of the year, I am on the microphone unless something happened, like last week, talking on my cell phone all day and forgot my charger. Looked up, it was 4:30, and I couldn't get across town and get my charger, but that's all right. You know what? Hey, sometimes you got to cancel out and do some things. As I tell the girls all the time, you know what? Life goes on. Life moves on, and we do what we do. We have to make adjustments, just like real football coaches. You make adjustments anytime, any place on the field. Tonight's going to be a great show, as usual. We do what we do. We talk nothing but women's football. We talk about the good, the bad, the ugly. We just talk about it, because if we don't communicate, we don't know what's going on, we don't know what's happening, we can't move forward. So anyway, as I always do, I got to definitely give a couple of my sponsors a little love. A little love. You know, I got Adidas. My Adidas, your Adidas. We all should be rocking Adidas. We've got Rogers Athletic Company, the official football gear and equipment of the Women's Football Camping Conference, where the good get better. We got Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Why pick Enterprise? Because you know they will pick you up. Yes, 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 y'all. That's how it goes down when you're rocking with Coach Lee, y'all. Like I said, you can talk to me. I'm on the NEEM board. That's Women's Tackle Football Group. NEEM.com. It is the number one board, and we just went over 2,000. Let me say that again: 2,000 members on the NEEM board. That's people that are talking about women's football and trying to elevate women's football. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It don't matter. We're just going to talk about it. But you know what? Let's get this party started like we always do. We got some great topics tonight. We got quarter number one. We're going to talk about the camping conference. Quarter number two, I've been requested to do a segment on recruiting. Quarter number three, we're going to talk about
football. Make a
fantasy
football.
Okay, got it. Football is all about football. And, yes, I am live. I am live, and I do the show live from work. But quarter number three, we're going to talk about coaching, misleading and some misunderstanding of coaching and some of the things that some of you ladies don't understand about football. For those men who've played for 20, 30 years of football and been around it, it's like a hidden secret, a hidden jewel of what the ultimate light of football is all about. And, you know, done some research with the help of a few coaches to pass along some information that I hope to give out to all the football players out there. Like I said, I'm all about, you know, pushing women's football to the highest level and to get you the information that you need. Again, I'll get into that, but that's quarter number three. And then also, like I said, you can call in. Quarter number four is like my open topic. You know, if anybody want to call in, or I normally drop what's on the name board, the hot topic there. But I do hear that there's going to be a few phone calls. So, again, you can call in 347-826-7278. Once again, that's 347-826-7278. Make sure you press the pound and one button so that my super-duper producer, BJ, will let me know that, you know, somebody's on the line, and we'll make it happen. So let's go ahead and do this like we always do. And it's a deep kick. Why is it a deep kick? Because we talk nothing but deepness in women's football. And again, as a special teams coordinator, you want them to start on their end of the field, deep, deep, deep in their zone. If you can kick it out the end zone, that's cool, because they start at the 20-yard line. They've got to go 80 on you. If they can't go 80, they won't get it done. Yo, what you need? Oh, okay. Like I said, y'all, I'm here live. That's what keeps the show fresh. You know what I'm saying? That's what keeps the show fresh. So here we go. Quarter number one. You know, quarter number one, like I said, the Women's Football Camping Conference. And like I said, the whole purpose of the Women's Football Camping Conference is to get you ladies out of your normal element, your normal element of being coached by the coaches that you coach, and realize that there's other people out in this world that knows about football. You know, I learn every day, every day. When I say every day, I learn something new every day in life. And that's what football is all about. It's about life. But it is the only camp in the world for women's football that's dedicated to improving women's football, that have some of the best coaches to ever coach football out there. And like I say, you can go to Women's Football Camp, womensfootballcamp.com, and see the past presenters, past coaches, past players, and things of that nature. And I'm updating that website as we speak. I'll probably get it updated this weekend. But again, you know, we definitely will be updating and get what's going on. But I'm just going to give you some more details, because you heard it first here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Like I said, I give it to you straight. And the bottom line is, you just heard me talk about camp. You heard me talk about camp. You know, last year the players got some great things out of it, but they felt that it was focused too much on the whole circle of women's football, from the coaches to the owners, and the coaches and owners weren't even there. You know, I would say we might have had two or three coaches come in, and they wind up helping out at the camp, and then we had, you know, maybe four or five owners come to the camp, and we really focused in on the conference aspect. And the players, you know, were on the field a total of, let me see how many hours, 9 to 12 hours on the football field. And, you know, some of their enjoyment was they liked being out on the football field. So this year we implemented one practice on Thursday, three practices on Friday, three practices on Saturday, all 2 hours each. So what's that, 2, 4, 6, 2, 4, 6, 12, 14, close to 16 hours of being actually on the football field, being coached up at your position. Again, it's going to be focusing on the players, because that's who's responding to the camping conference. I'm tired of beating a dead horse to try to get people out here to learn. And like I said, I can't lead a horse to water and make them drink. So I'm not going to keep busting my head trying to bring these horses to the water to make them drink, and they don't want to drink. So, you know, we're going to concentrate on the players. Right now we have 136 players that have signed up for the camp and conference, and no, it's not too late. They just got the heck of a deal, or they got the, you know, hold my spot for $25. Of course, they got to pay the balance by, I want to say, November 15th is the cutoff date, which is $150, but those who got the discount got 25% off. Those who bought multiples got, you know, another discount and stuff like that. So, you know, I think those deals are still on the Camp and Conference website. Go there and find out. Like I said, it's still live. It's live, and you can go get it. But, again, the focus is on the product. The product is our players. And, like I said, you'll be coached by specific coaches that are coaching gurus at their position. I haven't put the list out as of yet because, again, it's all about confirmation and confirming. But there is coaches for each position, so that's not the issue. It's just a matter of I got coach on my A list and coach on my A, you know, my A2 list, you know, because all my coaches are A coaches. But once the confirmations come in, then I'll start playing it out and making it happen. So you got to make your plans, you guys. You got to get out there, do your thing, get better, and take the information and knowledge that you do learn and take it back to your team. And like I said, I always tell the players, no matter what you learn, you can take back, but you still play for your coaches that you play for. You still got to do it their way. But now you get an understanding of how others may do it. You know, it might be the same move, but a different name or different technique or something that made you easier, you know, made you play the game a lot easier. So that's what the Women's Football Camp and Conference is all about. I haven't been pushing on my shows as of late because there's been a lot of other things going on. But the focus will be on the players this year. We're not going to focus again on trying to help the marketing people and trying to help the PR people and trying to help the game day operators because, again, if supply and demand. If the demand is not there, then you don't supply the need. The need and the supply is in the football players. So if that's who's coming to the Camp and Conference and that's who want to get better, then that's who the Camp and Conference need to be focused on. You'll also be doing film sessions, film breakdown. You know, because, again, a lot of players and a lot of teams don't do film breakdown. They don't understand how one team is better than another team by just watching film. And, again, there's some things that you ladies don't understand about football. It's strategy. It's war. It's chess. You know, you got to watch film. You got to know how to watch film. You got to know how to watch yourself and not just look out for the good plays that you make. You got to look for your mistakes. You have to look out for your mistakes and improve on them each and every week, each and every day, and each and every time you're on the football field. If you're not open-minded about improvement, you will always bang heads with the coaches and other players. You got to be open-minded about what you're doing. And don't take everything so hard. And, again, these are some of the things I tell you from my personal experience every week. So for those who are just tuning in at the first show, this is how I speak. This is what I talk about. And I always use my experience because I don't want to talk about nobody else's experience. I've experienced a lot in football, women's football, regular football, Pop Warner football, high school football, college football. I can't say too much on the pro level. But, hey, I've dealt with football. I'm 40. I've probably been dealing with football for 39 years and 3 months. You know, my dad used to take me to the film session in 3 months when I was able to have a bottle and be rocking in the little chair. So I do know what I'm talking about, but I'm humble enough to understand that there's other people out there that know just as much, if not more, than I do. And like I said, I don't even coach at the camp. I'm there learning new techniques, and there's some new techniques that I implemented this year with some of my defensive backs. And, you know, they went from being just an average player to being an all-star player just because we switched a little technique that I learned at a position that I played just about all my life. And you'll see some of the NFL guys doing it. And like I said, the inventor of this particular technique will be at the camp teaching defensive backs how to read and how to, you know, cut off and do a lot of things. So, again, the Women's Football Camp and Conference is going to be all that. Make sure you go to womensfootballcamp.com. And like I said, it's going to be focusing on the players. It's going to be focusing on the players. If you are a true player out there, you want to get better, hey, like I said, like the slogan says, where the good get better. You know, if you think you're good, you can always get better. If you're not that good, you can at least become good. So again, it's stepping ladders, and it is a full contact camp. We ain't busting heads out there, but we are out there with our helmets on, shoulder pads on, and practice gear, basically. You know, the more you on the field, the better you get. The more you understand in the classroom, the better you get. So again, I'll have some more plug-ins, and I'll actually be doing shows from here on out. We'll be featuring some of the coaches that will be at the camping conference where they'll be calling in, interviewing, and we'll be talking about some of the techniques and things that we will be learning. So again, like I said, time flies when you're having fun, and quarter number one is over. So you know what? We got to move on. We got to move on. We have to move on. Quarter number two. You know, I got quite a few emails, and I think I did a show a while back on recruiting. I think I do one every year during the off season, and a lot of teams are having issues with recruiting, and some teams don't know how to recruit because you weren't part of a process to recruit other players throughout your playing-ship, as I call it. You know, you just were fortunate to go out to, say, a basketball team. Well, you only need 12 players. You need to go 5-on-5 in practice, and you need two more subs just in case, you know. So it's not hard to get a basketball team together. But when you're trying to recruit 30 to 50 women to come out and play a sport, you need some street bangers. You need some folks that's going to, you know, be proud to be part of your association. But also not be afraid to recruit players that are as good, if not better than them. I'm running into a situation, you know, currently, like I said. There's teams that are good, and there's teams that are great. The teams that are great have depth, meaning when one player goes down, they got somebody that is just as good, if not better, replacing that person due to injury, due to family issues, due to whatever. You got to challenge yourself. If you're not willing to challenge yourself, you're not going to be a good recruiter. It goes back on the team. Well, because you as a team, you are the number one recruiter. You're the one that wears the jersey proudly and happily. Happily. Wow, man, my tongue is such like real twisted right now. But the fact is, you are the walking billboard. When you walk with that jersey and you're proud and you go to another football game and somebody doesn't recognize that jersey, the first thing they're going to ask you is, what is that about? And when you tell them it's women's football, their eyes just glow and get big. Well, what are some of the things that you can do? Like I said, real simple. Go to some of the local high school football games. It's football season, folks. 4, 5, 6, 10, 15 of you guys on the team go and sit together at a semi-pro game, at a pro game, at a high school game, a Pop Warner game, where there's people. That's how you get recognized. The next thing is you got to have some kind of literature, some kind of flyer, some kind of business card. And I know BJ's promoting her team, and she went and got some free business card. I think it was VistaPoint.com or something like that. I know she's going to pop that up. But it was something Vista, where you can get 250 business cards for like $9. Real generic. All they have to do is say women's football on it. There we go. VistaPrint.com. See, y'all are on VistaPoint. VistaPrint. And it's like $9 for 250 cards. And you can make the card whatever you want. It can be a slogan. It can be a phone number. It can be a website. And you got to pass these things out. You can do flyers. And I'm talking about cheap stuff. I ain't talking about going to the radio station and spending all your money hoping and praying that somebody's listening, you know. You got to get up there and recruit. You got to go to softball games. You got to go to girl events, you know, female events, co-ed events, if you want to recruit these players. When I first started, I went to boys' football games recruiting mothers because you got mothers out there yelling at their sons, talking about, get them. And I'm like, well, why don't you show them how to do it? And they're like, what are you talking about? Here, come join my football team. You got to get out there. You got to recruit. You know, you got social networks. You know, you got Facebook. You got Craigslist. You got MySpace. And you got to be proud of who you are when you get on there. You know, I've seen some ads. I've seen some people say, oh, football team tryouts, come out. Not indulging people in, hey, I play football and we're on the best football team. And, you know, once you come out and be a part, you got to have some enthusiasm when you do this stuff. You just can't be passing out the literature. You can't pass out the information on Facebook or whatever and not be enthused. You know, you got to reiterate what you're putting out there. You know, you can give away some free T-shirts that you have, you know, of your team. That's why I say don't date your T-shirts. A lot of teams put 2008 I always use my team, Las Vegas Showgirls, 2008. Why? Why am I going to date it? I just go ahead and just put Las Vegas Showgirls with the same, you know, scenario stuff, but don't date it. Because when you throw it out there, they're like, man, this T-shirt 3 years old, even though it's new. But don't date yourself. I learned that in the music business. Rappers always talk about, yeah, and, you know, for the 9-4, 9-5, and the album comes out in 99 or 2001. But you did that rap 5 years ago. That stuff is whack. That's old. People want to keep it fresh. You can do koozies. You can do stickers. I know a couple of my players had the website on their back window. Again, you are the number one recruiter. You are the number one advertiser. Understand that. You are the one who gets it done. You can give away free passes. You know, that goes back onto my ticket thing as far as marketing and promotions. You know, what else has been clever? You can do fax blitzes. You can do picnics, cook-offs. You know, go to corporate challenge. Again, you just don't want the average Joette, as I call it, you know, to come play for you. You got to go out and get the athletes. Again, our job is to get the best product available so that we can be seen and be respected. You know, I that's the biggest word I see on the Ning board and here throughout women's football. We just want our respect. Well, if you want the respect, then you got to go with your A game, and you got to go out there and get your A game recruiting on, and you got to get your A game players on the football field, and you got to get the A game second stringers on the field. It just can't be just warm bodies. You know what I'm saying? My whole thing is I'm a competitor. I want to compete. I want to be the best. If I want to be the best corner, I want to be the best corner, not by default because I'm the only corner. I want to be the best because I am the best. So it's a whole attitude adjustment. It's a whole bunch of things out there that delivers that, you know. You got to go to the colleges. I mean, good night. Every team out there is surrounded by high schools, junior colleges, and colleges. I don't care if they're D1s, D2s, D3s. There's athletes on those campuses that didn't earn scholarships that still want to play ball or have an opportunity to play a sport, let alone be it football. That's the ultimate sport. But if you can't get out there, you got to get the team out there. You got to go recruit. You know, I'm not going to go to a bar to recruit athletes. Athletes don't hang out in a bar. Athletes hang out in the gym, the weight room. They're on the playing field somewhere, somehow, some way out there. You got to become friends with the ADs, the volleyball coach at the high schools and junior colleges, the softball teams, the track team. You got to get involved. You got to talk to these people. They will give you leads on some athletes that have finished up their career, you know. And the ultimate thing of being an athlete is you always up for the challenge. You always want to go out for new challenges. And for ladies, the newest challenge is playing football because you never had the opportunity to do that. Now, I'm getting more and more emails of players who played high school just due to the fact that we exist here in Vegas. There was, I think, 9 players that played last year here in Vegas. How much time did they really get on the actual game field? Well, it's more time than any other ladies that I have on the football field. At least they've gone through the experience of practice, as long as they, you know, the experience of going through double days. You know, those are the girls I'm looking for. You know, that's what's going to make my product better. And again, a lot of things I'm talking about are really cheap. You know, putting together a highlight video, going to a tailgate party and plugging up a generator and get you a flat screen TV, 50-inch flat screen or whatever, or even using a computer and showing them highlights from YouTube. You know, again, I use the example of going over to the locals game. You know, there are 10,000 people out there for the locals game. And here I am in the middle of the locals, promoting Showgirls. And I got about 20 women that came up to me that wanted to play. I had about 40 fathers swore up and down that those weren't women playing football because they were catching the ball. They were running over people. They were hitting. You know, again, people hear good, but they see better. The more visuals you have, the better you can recruit, you know. But, coach, what if I just started up a team? I don't have visuals. Well, find the team out there and get permission to use their highlights. You ain't got to say that this is your team. I mean, the first highlight film I did was of the L.A. Amazons. I talked to Coach Duncan. I said, Duncan, you know what? Let me borrow one of your films, and I want to get some highlights off of it. And I took that and made my first commercial out of it. It was women playing football, ponytails, everything, hitting, screaming, hollering, helmets coming off, you know. And then, hey, you know, we put this together. You know, Coach Holmes, you got a great idea. You know, you actually paid 10 of your players a couple of bucks to come out and tackle each other or whatever. You know, if your players got the equipment, just get a camera and do something creative. I know that the Portland Phillies are trying to do a commercial up in for a Ford dealer or something like that. And I don't know how it came about, but it's exposure. It was commercial. And it's ways you can get it done. It's ways you can get it done. You can dramatize your own commercial. And you can put it on TV for $5 to $10 per commercial if you go directly to cable. And it can be done on ESPN. Every station has a local commercials. And like I said, I would rather buy 100 $5 commercials than two $500 commercials. I think I did the math right. I don't even know. I'm just talking on top of my head. But you get what I'm saying. Quantity instead of just the quality. You know, I wouldn't spend $30 million to put an ad on the Super Bowl. You know, $30 million or $3 million for a 30-second. When I can spend that $1 million and get 100,000 commercials. Because it's about repetition. People got to see it to believe it. So, again, for the teams out there, you got to get some visuals, be it cards, be it flyers, be it video. Direct them to somebody else's website. Do whatever you got to do. But you got to send a video. Yeah, man, I'm in the middle of a radio show, dog. But I got you, though. I got you tomorrow. And like I said, you got to be creative, you guys. You got to be creative. If you're not creative, then you will not survive. You will not be able to get that out there. You know, and like I said, ain't nothing magic about it. I got a team in my own backyard, and I'm still talking about it. Because, again, it's those who do and those who get it done. Those who will talk and those who will walk, you know. And it's a challenge. Yes, it is. As a coach, I feel challenged. It makes me get off my butt. It makes me go out there and do what I do instead of sitting back saying, you know what, I build the field and they will come. That's bull crap. Just because you build the field don't mean they're going to come because they don't even know that you built the field. So, again, you got to go out and get the workers. You got to go get the bees, the honeybees, to put in the work, you know, to fertilize the daisies and do whatever needs to be done. I know I'm just talking outside of my neck, but, you know, when I'm Coach Lee, I just come out like that. I do that. I roll like that. I make it happen like that. But, again, you know, those are some simple things that you can get done, you know. All you have to do is, again, put forth the effort. Be proud of who you play for and go out there and recruit. And find other athletes that are just as good, if not better than you, and compete. That's only going to make you a better player. Without competition, you don't get any better. If you always go up against a girl you know you can beat, you're not getting any better. You got to go against the best. If you go against the best in your own practice, you're not going to be scared to go against the best on another team. You know. So that's my theory on that. That's where I'm rolling. That's what I'm building, and that's where we're going. Like I said, time flies when you're having fun. We halfway through already, and I'm like, hot dogs. Well, speaking of hot dogs, I'm hungry, but I didn't eat lunch today. But anyway, hot dogs, we're going to roll on quarter number 3. I think this is going to come from a coach's perspective. As I sat here, as I'm going through what I'm going through here in Vegas, you know, like I said, I'm open and honest. I'm blunt. You know, each and every year you got some players who come out for whatever reason they come out. Some come out for the love of the game. Some come out for the socialization of the game. Some come out just to get out the house. And they don't understand football coaches. And for those who play football, you're going to understand what I'm talking about. For those who just started playing football, you're still wondering why certain things. And as I try to pull this up real quick, because I know I just pulled this up, hot dogs, I come back to my desk and everything's all messed up. But in my town, you know, we lost the last game. I mean, one game for a championship, and we had a lot of ladies that are disappointed. And everybody wants to blame the finger. I mean, yeah, blame everybody but themselves. As a coach, I'm blaming myself. I'm the first one to blame for anything, be it good, bad, or ugly. But I acknowledge the fact that it's good that I give it to the girls. But I take the fact that, you know, a loss is a loss. But you know what? We live and we move on, and that's what football teaches us, you know, that we do move on. But some people just don't get it. They just don't get it. And I'm trying to pull this up real quick because I wanted to read a few things. Because, again, I got to do some research. And like I said, I'm always learning. And the thing about it, things that I'm about to read off are things that I already know. It's just that it's sitting here in front of me because I played football for so long. Okay? And it's really talking about mental toughness. And some of you ladies out there, you're not mentally tough. And I'm going to be blunt and just put it out there. You're not, you know. And I can say that because I can go to Facebook and see all the comments that all the ladies put on there. And then some of the most depressing, sad, pity type of comments that I've ever seen in my life. Football don't teach you to have pity on yourself. Football teaches you to dust yourself off and get up and make it happen. If you're not good enough, then you need to go and get better. You know, it's a factual sport. Either you do it or you don't. Either you put in the time or you don't. It will shine, and you know, on the field if you don't do it. But it's kind of funny to me that, you know, football is nothing but an adversity sport. When I say adversity, things are good at times. It's bad at times. You get the momentum at times. You know, one mistake is costly. That's adversity, and it's part of life. You have to live with it, and you have to deal with it. And some of us don't handle that well. Instead of dealing with it, we want to blame others. You know, well, we didn't score a touchdown because that was a sorry play that was called. Or we didn't stop them because, you know, such and such missed a tackle, and we start to argue. We're not a team, you know. So, again, football teaches you how to deal with adversity. The best players can deal with adversity, like an Adrian Peterson who can fumble the ball one play and the next play take it for 80 yards. That's how he deals with it. He puts it as a challenge to get better or to make up for that instead of getting down on himself. And so where are you going with this, Coach Lee? Where are you going with this? I know I got a short period here, so I think I got a couple callers that want to call in. And again, if you want to call in, it's 347-826-7278, 347-826-7278, press 1 and pound, and again, super producer BJ will put you on. But where am I going with this? It's dealing with coaches, okay? And I'm just going to read this real quick, and this is actually a quote from Lou Holtz, a college football Hall of Famer, Mr. Guru of football. You can see him on ESPN on the wrap-ups every Saturday night. But this is what he says. It's the coach's job to teach you the skills, technique, and strategy of the game. We are also responsible to motivate you in the game, but also in life. In the game, most coaches will be upset at you when you make mistakes. This mistake is usually a mental error where you forget an assignment or didn't concentrate hard enough. It could also be due to lack of effort. Either way, coaches will be upset with you, as you should be with yourself, as your teammates will be, and they will let you know. This should motivate you to never repeat this mistake. However, you may, and the coaches will be there to chew you out as you may need to be. Okay? Coaches will not and should not yell at you if you're trying your best and simply can't make the play. We all can't be perfect. If you are a proven player who is trying your best and you are trying possibly your hardest, and you will be the hardest on yourself. So that is when the coach will be there to try to lift you up, and as you know, and can accept and get the job done. That's the coach's position. Yes, they're going to yell at you, but they're also going to be the first ones to be there, okay? And when you make achievement, you will be the first to hear from the coach, either a hug, high five, or be the loudest cheerleader for you when you've done what you're supposed to do or self-corrected, okay? If a coach was always taking it easy on you to tell you how good you are doing, they would not be doing their job. Thus, they will be failing you. We all need tough love. In order to become the best, you need tough love. Once you realize this, you will realize the coach is only mad at you because he knows you can do better. Coaches will never make it. Let me go to the next page. Make it personal. And again, I always preach this to my girls. I never make it personal. That is why we are upset at you and not with you. Again, understand that we are mad or upset at you, not with you. Okay? We understand what your talents are. Okay? It is only when we stop yelling at you that we have given up on you. So again, I can see a lot of Facebook, again, going back to Facebook and seeing all these depressing, oh, it's a terrible day, oh, life sucks, and all this other stuff. You know what? We keep pushing you. We keep pushing you. And that's what football is all about, is pushing you to make you the best that you can possibly be. And again, it is so true. When a coach just, you know, gives up on you, the first thing they're going to do, they ain't going to even yell at you no more. They're not even going to talk to you. You know what? I give up. That's when you should be worried as a football player. You should be worried as a football player when the coach don't know your name, if you don't have a nickname, and they're not yelling at you. I think the women take it personal in this sport. And guys, hey, as coaches, we have to learn that we have to be sensitive as well. And that's 100% understood. But ladies, you're going to get yelled at. You're going to get yelled at, you know. But again, a good coach is going to emphasize the good things that you did and then self-correct you. But what you guys don't hear is the fact that we're trying to self-correct you. All you hear, I'm going to give you a good example. Let me see who I'm going to use. I'm going to use BJ because she's not going to take it offense. BJ, that was a great block. But you didn't drive your feet, and you didn't stay with your girl on that play. All BJ just heard was, wow, coach just called me sorry, and I can't block. I must be sorry, so I shouldn't be on the football field. What the hell? Or what was that, WTF, you know, or WTH is going through her mind? Again, she's taking the negative aspect of it and just, you know, multiplying it 8 to 10 times over, you know. You got to understand that coach's job is to get on you and self-correct. It's not personal. It is never personal. It's for self-preservation and self-improvement. This is something that we've been around all our lives. This is something that you, as ladies, have to understand. You have to understand that that is part of the nature of the game, nature of the beast. Okay? And, again, a lot of things are tossed up out there. Oh, the coach don't care about me. The coach, all he do is yell. No. Because, again, I'm using my experience because I got to use me. I can yell at you at practice. I can yell at you in the game. And I'll be the first one to give you a high five. I'll be the first one to hug you. I'll be the first one to crack a beer open with you afterwards because it's not personal. You know? But you ladies look deeper into what the coach's role is, you know. And again, it's some great stuff. And like I said, those who want this 4-page article, and like I said, it's some tremendous stuff. I would like for all the coaches, one, to read it, and then two, pass it to all their players so the players have a better understanding. And like I said, Coach Culver helped out and passed some information over to me, and it's like, it's not that I don't know it, but this is something that was instilled in us as six-year-old boys of how life is going to be and how you're going to be treated and how the weight of the world is going to be on your shoulders. And you got to perform under pressure, and you got to correct this, and you got to correct that. Yeah, you ran for 30 yards, but guess what? You could have ran for 60 yards if you would have done this, this, and this. It's not saying that we know it all. It's the fact that it's, being a coach is about being a perfectionist. That's what a coach is all about. It's the small details that make a coach a coach. The self-correction makes a good player, an all-star player. And you have to understand that. We want you at your highest potential. We want you to do what we know you're capable of doing. I just saw a Facebook from a former player of mine. And, you know, like I said, I ain't got to bust her out of who she is. You know who she is. But I'm going to try to find this quote real quick if I can get back to her page. And like I said, I give you my response to it. You know, I think she says she wants a coach that believes in her. I'm not going to quote her word for word because I don't think I have time to find it, because on my Facebook I got over 1,000 people, and I don't know where it could be at now. This was about an hour ago. But it was something like this. I want a coach who believes in me, who's going to teach me how to beat the other girl when I come off the field and not yell at me. I said, for one, you got to believe in yourself first. Secondly, if you're on the field, the coach believe in you or you wouldn't be on the field. Second, you got to open your mind and listen to what the coach is yelling to you so that you can understand. Once you understand that, then the learning will begin. That was my response back to her. If you're going to block a coach out because they are yelling, they're not trying to put you on blast. Sometimes the crowd is so loud that they have to yell. You know, it's an emotional game. How do men get emotional? They yell. They're not going to sit there and cry and tell you, oh, you didn't do it right. That's not how it's going to be. You want to be a football player? Take it like a football player. Learn from it like a football player. And then go out and do as a football player. You know, yes, I sound frustrated. Of course I do. You know, I got half my team feeling this way. And I try to be sensitive and try to tell them, you know what, this is how it's done. But as long as you're not being called out of your name, as long as you're not being mistreated, as long as the coach is not physically putting their hands on you in a destructive way, because I've had two incidents where the player has walked away from me, and I've kind of grabbed the jersey. I'm not talking about a handful of grass. I'm talking about a pinch of jersey and say, look, you're not going to make a scene here. And I said it very quietly, just like I'm talking to you now. You're going to turn around. You're going to look me in the eye. And you're going to understand what I'm telling you. Was that appropriate? Yes. Have I seen worse? Oh, hell yeah. Have I seen coaches just grab players by the face mask and just pull and yank them? Yes, I have. But if you are in a respected mode and respectable to the player, then that player got to show respect back to you. You don't walk away. It hurts the team. It shows that you don't have any character, that you can't deal with the situation. What's the word that I started off with this section with? Adversity. How do you perform under adversity? How do you perform under pressure? Okay? So, again, yeah, I'm ranting and raving. I'm expressing. And like I said, I'm going back and forth, but I couldn't find it. But that was the quote. And I think once you ladies understand the true meaning of the teachings and operations of what football is all about, then you'll come to an understanding and become a better player and a better team, a better teammate. You will have a better product on the field because you're not taking it personal. You're taking it as constructive criticism, and you're going to improve upon it instead of dwell in the puddle of pity. You want to play the warrior game? Then you got to become a warrior, step up to the table and become a warrior and understand that this is just part of the tradition of football. It's not to make me look bad. Hold on 1 second.
Hey, once you go ahead and start, hold up, yeah. Okay.
All right. Woo! I know I'll be talking, you guys, but, you know, I get emotional. And, you know, like I tell the girls, I love each and every one of you guys. And I'm going to treat you different. No one's more favorite than the other. But everybody out there has different personalities. I can approach one person one way, but I can't approach the other person this way. So you have to understand, it's a lot of brain energy being used to make sure that as a coach, I'm in connection with every woman out there who's playing the game. If you can't see that and understand that, then you might be in the wrong game. Go back and play some volleyball. Go back and bowl. Go back and play tennis or something. Am I being stereotypical? Yes. You know, and you got to grow some. You know, you just got to grow some and say, you know what, that's part of the game. I'm going to learn it, and let's go do it. You know? It's hard in a short period of time to find all the triggers that motivate you, which comes down to communication. If you don't tell someone how you feel, how is that person going to tell you that they were wrong of how they approached you? If you don't like the approach, then you be a woman enough and you come to that coach and say, hey, coach, it's time and place. But I didn't like that. That was inappropriate to me. Instead of just being quiet and then go blast it elsewhere or go tell other teammates. Approach the person that you have the issue with. That's his life as adults. That's what we do, you know. And it's frustrating because the longer that you're with the coaches and you don't understand the concept of what football is about, the more frustrating it gets. I would rather just start from scratch than deal with the drama of you not understanding the role and your role on the team. It just makes it that much easier, that much better. Okay? Again, for those who want to call in, please call in. We got 15, about 12 minutes left on the show. And you know I can talk all day. You know, it's no big deal. But the bottom line is this, ladies, you got to be willing to come out there and take it. And I'm not saying take it like a man because you're not a man. I'm not trying to make you a man. You got to come out there and take it as a football player because even six-year-old boys who play this game go through the same things that you're going through. Again, it's a rites of passage. That's why football is so sacred. You know, if you were a fly on the wall in some of these locker rooms or some of these college coaches and heard the things that they say, and seen the things that they've done, you would understand it. But you have not been there. You have not done that. And I think the coaches do the best that they can across the board. And like I said, I have a good group of coaches that I talk to throughout women's football. Okay, we got somebody from 972. Hey, just go ahead and punch them in. Let's go ahead and bust it up. Let's do what we do. 5-minute drive, 12-minute drive. You on with Coach Lee. 972, who this?
Hi, Coach Lee. This is Lynn Liberty Ellington with the Lone Star Mustangs.
Hey, Lynn, how you doing?
Good, good. I've been trying to call in. It was saying that all circuits were busy, so I apologize for being a little bit late there.
It don't matter. This is a freelance show. We rock and roll as it goes, just like a football game. You know, you got to learn how to make adjustments. If you don't make adjustments, you don't win. So what you got on your mind? What's going on?
Well, I was calling in. There's been a lot going on the Ning board the last few days, and I wanted to address a few questions and make a few comments. A couple of days ago, I put a post out there about an email that I had received from another team asking me what's going on here about, you know, leagues calling up or leagues emailing and asking, hey, come to our league. I completely understand that there's going to be teams that aren't happy with their league and they are going to go to other leagues. That's going to happen. What I didn't agree with was the undermindedness of the correspondence that's going on. Again, I don't have anything against any leagues. I don't know anything about their, you know, procedures or anything. But I do disagree with the negativity that it's bringing to women's football. I love your Ning board. I think it's a great avenue for people to discuss things on. I think that it has been turned into something that creates negativity. The people that want to do the positive stuff are scared to get out there and talk about it because they're called bitches and they're called different things on that board, and they don't, you know, they're worried about it. So I think that there are a lot of people in women's football that want to do good things or have questions, but they are concerned with getting on that board. And it could be a great thing if we didn't have that negativity on it.
Real quick, I mean, and that's the nature of human beings, though. You know, you deal with the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, my mom always told me, if I ain't got nothing good to say, then don't say it at all. You know, some people have not been raised in that type of home.
Right.
And again, as human beings, we're so defensive of what we're doing because we all feel that we're doing the right thing anyway, you know. So
right, and I agree with that. I feel the same way you do. You know, I was raised in a way where even, you know, the name calling is not necessary. I'm here to do something productive. And, you know, I know that a lot of, you know, some people on there have certain ideas of how history went in the WFA or in the NWFA or in the WPFL. What I think people need to realize is that these people that were in the WPFL and the IWFL, they were trying to make it a better place. And it just seems to keep going around and around because there is a low level of ability to get into women's football. There's no, you know, it doesn't cost $1 million. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. So you're going to have people that do not have the same business sense or the same ideas as you do or the same coaching environment.
Stuff like that. Okay.
So it's yeah, go ahead.
No, I'll just help you out with coaching philosophies and things
of
that
nature.
It's
just it's very frustrating for me as an owner. I do get several calls from players or owners or and they want to, some of them have wanted to come into the industry, but they see these things and it turns them off. You know, we've had some discussions about the teams that we started up. We had the Lone Star Mustangs the first year, and this has always been our goal, you know, if we could ever get it done. We started the Lone Star Mustangs, put in some processes and procedures together, just like a normal business. Decided some things weren't the way we wanted them, so we did it another year. Fixed some processes and procedures, and we said, okay, this is something we can do. It's always been in the plan to open more football teams to fill in those gaps, not take over in areas or pull players from other teams, but to fill in the gaps for a couple of different reasons. One, to get more women into women's football. To you know, spread the word and get the knowledge out there. And three, I guess, would be to fill in those holes to lower travel expenses for other teams. You know, I think it's a great, you know, I've been putting in the time and the effort. My family puts in the time and effort. But most of all, my goal, and it might not be the goal of other people, and, you know, Mr. Burmeister might not understand, but I have a goal of giving each of my children a business. And if I want to give each of my children a football team, then that's okay. That might not be his fault, but it is mine. Mm-hmm. So those are the four reasons why I started in women's football. It would work against me if my intentions were negative. If
right.
my intentions were to screw people and my intentions were to do things like that, it would not be productive for me to start three more teams to do that. I think the major reason why I did that was because, you know, you talk to people about women's football, and I know you get negative criticism because they say, oh, you're just talking about the showgirls. Well, that's because that's what you know. I felt that before I could tell people, you know, I try and tell people how to do fundraising and help people that call. But I thought, you know what, you know, they don't believe me because I'm in Dallas and I have a big market. Well, you know, what if I do this in Little Rock and it's successful? What if I do this in Tulsa, Oklahoma and it's successful? Then there's no more excuses as to why the small market doesn't work. If we can get it to work there, there's no more excuses.
Definitely.
So,
I mean, I feel you on that because, again, no matter how much you do, again, people are either going to be mad and upset with you, or are they going to be with your program, or are they going to be jealous of what you do, you know? And I've accepted the fact that, you know what, I'm just going to be me. Like me, take me, love me, whatever. I know that my intent is to help women's football. You know, I've been told that I've been a crook. I don't care about the player, that I left a player in San Diego with a broken hip, and I was talking about another player, but I don't need this. And somebody said, and I'm the one who drove back to Vegas on the bus and then went back 2 days later and picked up the young lady in San Diego. So, you know, I know what I do, you know. No,
right.
I know what I do, and you know what you do. And as long as you stay positive on what you do and stay on your road, hey, it's no stopping what we can do with women's football. You know, the whole purpose of the camping conference was to get everybody together so that we can talk about these issues. The whole reason about this whole show is to have an open forum that people can express themselves. The whole thing about the Ning Board is to have an open forum where people can express themselves. And that's what people are scared of, be it if they're positive about what they do or negative. I mean, there's 2,000 members on the Ning Board, and we all got special talents. But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want nobody to chastise us about our talents, being the good, bad, or ugly. And that's what we have to get over. And it's going to take pioneers like yourself, pioneers like myself, and other owners that we know to do that. You know?
You're right.
So
you're absolutely right. There's always going to be somebody that doesn't like what somebody did. I hope that at some point we can get this unified in some form or fashion. I know there's lots of different rumors and stories going on out there. But, you know, if you come down to it, you know, people are trying to do this for one reason or another. I think, you know, in order for us to get the big, you know, sponsors and the, you know, people listening, you got to take the negative stuff off the board. You know, I have a contract with, you know, Dallas Cowboys. I don't want them seeing stuff on there about me being a two-faced bitch. I mean, that is just, you know, we can't have that. We just can't have it, no matter how much
right.
I like you or dislike you. We all need to come together in some form or fashion, let bygones be bygones or whatever the case is. Come together and get this done, because it can be hugely successful.
Right, and like I said, on the Ning Board, I monitor the board, but I'm not going to sit there and edit anything or take things away. I am not G-O-D, you know what I'm saying? Even though people feel that, oh, that's Dion's board, just because I operate it. Well, the reason why I operate it is because I want people to come in dialogue, and I don't want them to be afraid to speak their voice. But I think there's some respect issues. And when I see something that's out of line, being very disrespectful, again, I'll go on there and make a comment like, look, we're bigger than that. We're adults. We don't have to go there, you know. But some people get so emotionally involved in it, that's what happens when they get emotional. They don't know any other words to use, or they don't take their time, you know, in typing and making sure that it's coming across as they want it to come across, you know. And I understand, but to be seriously honest, I mean, I don't know how many sponsors are really coming to the Women's Tackle Football Group Ning board, because that's not the place for a sponsor to come, in my opinion. You know, because these are all opinions of 2,000 people who play the game. It's not a professional board. It's not the owners only. It's not the, excuse me, guys, about this side doors. Thank you. You know, and that's the things that we have to create and understand. It was a place for us to dialogue about our disagreements, you know, and about working together, you know. Again, like I tell the girls on my team, I'm married to one woman, and it's hard to satisfy her over the last 20 years that we've been together and married. There's no way in the world I'm going to be able to satisfy all 40 of you guys and everything that you want, from playing time to whatever. We have to roll with it and be adults and understand what our role is. And you have a great role. We've talked before we even knew we were going to different leagues. We sat down. I met up with you in Vegas, you and your husband. And and openly talked about women's football, you know. And that's what it
takes. Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things that a lot of teams aren't doing, you know. And the fact that you were willing to sit down with me, you know, I called up and said, okay, tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly. Tell me what I need to know before I make a business decision.
Right.
And you were willing to sit down with me. You hadn't met me, didn't know me. But I think there's a lot of people out there that would be willing to do that if people ask the question.
Right, and that's what I try to tell all my players. I know I got some more phone calls, I think, that I showed up here, but I'm not worried about that yet. But it's all about communication. If we can't communicate and we just go based off of rumors, we're just spinning our wheels in the mud, you know. But you got to get the story from both sides. You just can't take one side just because they're passionate about what they do. You still got to find out, okay, well, that's what you see. And then, you know, it's just a court of law.
Mm-hmm.
You're guilty. I mean, what is it again? What is a court of law? What is the word? You're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
But in women's football, you're guilty just by association. You're guilty because I heard about that. You know, there's no legitimacy in anything that you do. So why even do it? And it's not like any of us are making any money. None of us are millionaires. A lot of folks have lost cars, houses, whatever, over this women's football thing. And instead of sitting here spinning ourselves in the mud, we need to get together collectively. There has to be some creative ideas. I hate the fact that a lot of ideas I throw out there because I do think about women's football 24/7. You know, what would it look like to be under one league? Instead of disrespecting everybody out there, I just came up with a name with 96 teams. But all of a sudden, the rumor is Deion is starting to start his own league. He's pushing his own league. No, I'm pushing the idea of one league and see how it will look under one roof. Yes, it's going to have some dings and dings on it. But you know what? It's a positive step towards unifying what everybody's talking about doing. But see, I'm not a talker. I'm a walker. And I accept the fact that people don't like the way I walk, you know.
Well, yeah, and I did ask some people to call in and get any questions answered if they want to ask questions. I do have a couple of things that, you know, I had a player from a team call in and ask me something about the USA football alternates. So I want to get some information on that because I don't know anything about how that worked. The other thing, I want to do a shout-out for the teams. We went and did what I do is I travel around, and I went to Shreveport, Little Rock, and Tulsa and had tryouts. And, again, this week we introduced about 15 women to women's football. The last two weekends ago we did about 25 women. Just get out there and hold those tryouts, get the information out about your team. And people will come. Women love football.
Sorry about that. I had to make an announcement at the same time. I get so excited, I forget about my own job sometimes.
That's okay.
You know, but the same thing that what you're doing is the same thing that I've talked about to other teams, for instance, be it in my league or be it against other teams. Between Vegas and L.A., there's two major metropolitan areas that can get a team. Same thing with Utah, and I mentioned this to Utah. Hey, why don't we pick a date you guys drive to St. George, which is about a 3-hour drive for them, about a 2-hour drive for us. Let's put on a clinic, call the news, put an ad in the newspaper, and go out there. If I have 15 of my players and you have 15 of your players, we got 30 people there that the media can see that want to play football. They don't have to have on the Las Vegas Showgirl stuff on there or the Utah Blitz stuff on there. You know, just the fact is, we're 30 women with 4 coaches out there doing a workshop, and it might be 15 other women. So now you got 45 women out there. 45 women in an area that don't even know nothing about football, and the news is covered. Now that makes up for our travel. You know, we help create a team there to benefit us as owners. That's what I see what you're doing. I'm not looking at it as a monopoly because you ain't making no money personally. I already know because I'm in the game. I've been in 6 years. There's no way in the world, you know, that it's a money maker. But what you're doing is you're cutting down costs and travel in hopes of finding an owner to take over at some point in time or a different management group. But you got to stir the interest up. And this is where I put Kathleen Masters as a genius because that's the concept that she was doing with the NWFA. You know, people don't like her, but they don't see the good in what she was doing. All they want to talk about is the negativity, you know, the dictatorship and all this other stuff. She was building a national organization piece by piece, brick by brick. But all people were seeing how many dollars she was putting in her pocket. Now, I talked to her personally quite a few times. I didn't choose the league because I just didn't like the structure, you know, and went elsewhere. But she respects that, and I respect her. And that's one thing we all have to understand. We have to respect each other at what we do, you know. And, again, what you're doing is a great plan. Some people see it as a monopoly. Some people see it as, hey, expanding women's football elsewhere and giving opportunity for women to play elsewhere, you know.
I'm not sure where it would be in monopoly. If I already have a championship team, why would I need to try and do it again?
Well, the thing about it is, even if you have a championship team, only one of those teams can win championships anyway.
Right.
If you're in the same league, so it's not benefiting you, unless you were in Vegas and you want the odds, you know. If you play craps or if you play blackjack,
it doesn't benefit me because only one can win.
There you go. So, you know, like I said, I'm glad that you called in, Lynn. I think I have some more calls coming in. I know we extended the show an extra 30 minutes, which is great.
Yes.
And like I said, I'm here. Anybody can call in. Anybody can talk, speak their mind within reason, meaning I don't want no cursing mouth, filthy mouth, and just let's talk as adults. Come to the table and talk as adults. That's all we want. So,
thank you for taking my call, Coach Lee.
All right, folks, we're there you go. Like I said, my show is your show. If you got something to say, you got something that's positive, negative, whatever, it's all about coming together. It's about doing this together. It's about making it happen together so that we can be under, now I'm not going to say under one roof, but on the same page. If we're promoting women's football, then let's do it. I mean, again, I'm closing up as I'm going, but I always use myself as an example, okay? Yes, I have a team here in Vegas. Yes, I have some disgruntled players. Yes, there's players that don't want to play for me. Well, great. I'm not hating on them and saying, don't go start no team. Go do your damn thing, you know, because, again, as a coach, I believe in my product. I'm not going to beg you to play. If you don't want to play for me, you ain't doing no good being on my team if you don't want to play. And that's part of the article that I have for you guys, for those who email me at LasVegasShowgirls@yahoo.com. But what I'm trying to get at is there's tactics. There's people that are pulling hairs. Hell, my team had a meeting this weekend. All Southern Nevada women who want to play football. So you had ex-showgirls, current showgirls, new showgirls out with the ex-showgirls who became legacy, who were originally on the Heat. I mean, it's a whole bunch of BS. My thing as a coach is, just tell me where you want to play. What are you committed to? And again, some of the results that you hear is, well, coach, I'm not committed to the team. I'm committed to the players who play on the team. So I go where they go. Well, again, that goes back to my self-pity situation. You end this for yourself. Yes, you create a family by being a part of a football team, but I played against some of my best friends. If you watch after every college football game, why do they go shake hands? Because they were on the same recruiting trips with the same all-star players from the other team, and they were on, you know, what I'm trying to get at is between the lines, it's a battle. Outside the lines, we're family and friends, no matter what team you on. You know, just because someone say, hey, make your decision on what you want to do. Because, again, I'm not going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs and wait on you to make a decision to play. I'm out recruiting every day. It's all about putting the best out there. If you don't believe in the product, then go elsewhere. No different than the team leaving the league. I don't sham them because they left the league. Hell, I left two other leagues. Just walked away. It wasn't for me. But I'm not out here bashing them 1,000%. No, there's some things I disagreed upon. They weren't flexible? Oh, well. Okay? Hey, I'm spending my money. I have the right to ask questions. I'm giving you my money. This is my investment. That would be like investing in the bank and just putting your money there and not knowing where the money is going, because most of us do. We bank at B of A. We bank at Wells Fargo. But have you guys ever asked the bank where do they invest their money to make money off of you? No, you don't. But a good investor would know, because they want to put their money where the bank is putting their money if the bank is making money off of you. Be smart, you guys. Come on. Just like Lynn talked about, some of us have different intents. Some of us have different backgrounds. You know, mine happen to be business and marketing. You know, I marketing music business. You've got to be creative when you're marketing a new recording artist. You can't market that person the same as a Michael Jackson or somebody else. You've got to find a niche. And the niche in football, again, you got to find it. You got to go out and find the information. You can't be judgmental. You got to be factual. You know? Again, that's the passion of women's football. That's the passion of football. But it's being misrepresented. It's being misunderstood because no one's teaching, and you're not going out there to learn the information. You got to go and learn the information, you guys. You know? So what? There's a rumor. Okay? I think I had somebody come up on the name board that said, do not promote, don't say nothing about my team. Okay? And I'm like, dude, this is an open forum. They can say what they want about your team because it's speculation. I know I got a call on 801. 801, give me 1 second. If they're still there, BJ. It's speculation. You have an opportunity to come onto the board as the manager, the owner, the coach, or whatever, to clear it up. Just make a blanket statement. You ain't got to go into details. The showgirls are leaving the WFA. I get on there and say, no, I'm not. I'm staying here. That's all that has to be said. It ain't got to be a whole glamorized statement of what's going on and what's going down. Again, it's there to create, to clear up. You know, word on the street is a topic. Well, if that's what everybody's talking about, it's just like saying rumor has it. Well, get on there and clear it up. Clear it up. That's what needs to be done. Clear it up. All right, BJ, we got somebody on 801, you on the line with Coach Lee. What's up?
Come on, Coach.
What's going on? Who we got here?
It's Coach Coburn from Utah.
Hey, what's happening, Coburn?
What's going
not
on,
Coburn? But Coburn.
Not Coburn. Oh, I ever pronounced Coburn.
I know that. I just wanted to clarify. But you with the Utah Jinx, man. Tell me, what's up? What you got to talk about?
Oh, what about the
what's on your mind?
Utah Jinx? Utah as premier women's football team.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I was just calling and wanted to talk about some issues you covered about recruiting. We're a new team in the. You know, the Blitz is up the street and plays in the WFA, and we're going independent, and we're starting to gather a lot of teams. You know, we scheduled a game with you, and we're hoping to play two games with you and a couple games with the Phillies, looking for some other teams. But we've been recruiting We've been out on by foot. Luckily, I've got a good group of women. I've got 40 on my roster right now. We're looking to start the season with 60. And in the season march, mm-hmm. we've parades, town days, everything. Over 40,000 flyers we've handed out, you name it, every kind of event from baseball games, basketball games, soccer games. We have a couple pro teams here, excuse me, here that we've been just busting down doors, handing out flyers, promoting the team. I've recruited from, we have seven rugby teams. We have a lot of Polynesians in the state of Utah because of the religion. And I've recruited out of every one of them Polynesian teams. Right now they're in their fall season, and my numbers are down a little bit because they're finishing off their fall season, but I'll have an additional 20 players just from the rugby teams, just recruit. But I just talking about, you know, I like, you know, what everybody, you know, LSM, Lone Star Mustang, she called in. I want to compliment the show. It's great. Hopefully the players are listening and the coaches and building the sport, and just hope everybody can recruit positively. Right now I've got some problems with the recruit because the team up the street, they didn't want to recruit anybody I brought to the team last year, and now they're recruiting everybody I'm bringing to my team. You know how that goes, though, with two teams.
I'm living proof of that every day right now. Like I said,
yeah.
The team that exists in Vegas right now, if it wasn't Showgirl Loaded, it wouldn't be anybody because they're not going out and recruiting fresh players. And this, I think, is where the frustration is with new team, with teams in the same market and don't have an understanding of what you want to do. You know, as a coach, if it was me and you, and I'm like, wow, I can whoop up on Greg all day. You know, I want to beat you with a fresh team. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to beat you with your team. That's not proving what type of coach I am.
Yeah.
You know, my thing is, I'm going to go get players and show you that, one, I'm a better recruiter than you. Two, I'm a better coach than you. I'm a better schemer than you on the football field. And I'm a classier operation than you are, you know. So
definitely.
That's how I look at it.
Well, and that's how I'm looking at it. You know, we're reaching our hands up to the Blitz, and we want to be a positive. We're setting a standard in every way, and we want them to be part of it. We're here to create an in-state rivalry. I just want to clear up a couple of things too. We didn't expand to out of spite or anything. We expanded just for different ideals and to create more opportunity. You've been to Utah. You came to Utah and played three games here this year, and we have a huge market. You know, we have two top college teams in Utah, and Utah's a real football-minded state. And we have people coming out of the woodwork to sponsor the team, to volunteer for the teams, and women coming out to play, you know. And I've got a lot younger. You talked about it on your team. I've had a couple comments from the girls, you know, because we had so many girls that expanded from the Blitz organization to our organization. And, you know, they're a little nervous because they're seeing a lot of 18-year-old girls come out that are athletes, you know, D1 type softball mm-hmm. players, volleyball players, track players. And they're like, well, coach, you know, gosh, are we going to be able to play? Well, yeah, you're going to have to work and earn it because that's just how it is. But, you know, we've got a lot of talent, and it's not that I'm trying to, you know, hypothetically, I've got a quarterback, and she's great. She's 38 years old, and, you know, she's very confident in her play, but I'm not looking to, you know, bring in an 18-year-old and push her out of the way because she knows my system. She knows my philosophy, and I know she's
right.
Me on the field. But hopefully players – and all teams and all organizations understand that, you know, eventually that 38-year-old is going to turn 40 and retire, and hopes with that 18-year-old will mature in a couple of years that, and then feel that shoes of that 38-year-old. It's not that we're bringing these players in to take the place of our existing players. It's to complement the team when they're gone. You know what I mean? And I think that's some of the things.
If we're trying to better our product and we're trying to market our product, because it actually, it just makes me flash upon the Lingerie Football League and the comments that are on the name board about that. You got some coaches that are on there that said, hey, there's some real athletes out there, you know, that can play. They're playing the game because they get paid to do what they do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is, the fact is that the league itself has put themselves in a position and know their target market. You know, that they have to be young. You know, they have to be a certain size, certain weight, a certain look. They define that. Football is, you know, 11-on-11 football has its stereotypes as well. If you look at the NFL, all linemen got to be X-tall, 6'5 and above. All quarterbacks now got to be 6'3 and above, with the exception of Drew Brees or somebody like that, that, oh, he's just the greatest, you know, because he's not the stereotype. Every football has stereotypes. It's just because they define what they want, you know, people are upset with that, you know, and like you're doing. You're defining it. I want the best athlete. You don't care if she's 45 or 25 or the minimum age of 18. It's that's what you want, and that's what you're recruiting, and that's what you bring into the table, you know. And people got to realize that.
Well, when we're recruiting athletes, we're not recruiting out of the bar. There was a lot of recruiting, so to say, out of the bar before, and not by me, but from prior people. But yeah, we've. It's great. You know, you're going to see two Utah teams. You're going to see the Blitz blossom in the WFA, and we support mm-hmm. them and push for them. You know, we might have the opportunity right. to play in 2012, but, yeah, the talent's deep. And one other thing, on the Women's Camping Conference, I'm just putting this out to my team, that it's important that we do go to that so other coaches, so they can see other coaches. And I'm not plugging you by any means. I'm just plugging it because I want my women on my team to experience other coaches and other philosophies, so when they come back home, they embrace our philosophy.
They have a better understanding of what you're talking about, you know? You know, again, exactly. We all play different way. We all over the country, and football is like this. Depending on your climate is depending on what you recruit. You know, if you're in a cold climate, you tend to recruit bigger players, because when the winter gets rough, you want to be able to turn the ball and grind it out. You go into the beach cities or the beach states, they tend to be airing it out, Pac-10, you know, the SEC on the East Coast down south, the Floridas and stuff like that, because they have the weather to do that. So,
yeah,
as part of your recruiting tactics, your environment dictates what you can do. If you had a dome, then it doesn't matter. You can recruit just like the West Coast people do, you know, or the seashore places, you know. So, again, it's all about finding your niche. It's about doing what you do, having a system. You know, I feel like this is like college football to me. There's some coaches that disagree. You know, they don't put their offense in until they get all the players there and see what they got, because they're not going out to recruit what they want. I go out and recruit what I want to fit and plug in my system that I'm comfortable with, and that I feel is exciting and progressive, you know. So, again, it's all in how you look at it from a coach's perspective, as an owner's perspective, of what type of product you want to put out on the football field. But
exactly.
Again, I like the fact that you want to create the rivalry. Yeah, those are things that are needed in women's football. You know, who's my nearest rivalry? They're 400 miles away. How many of my fans are really going to drive and go see me play my rival? You know,
exactly.
I might get 20 players, you know.
Well, and we had a few, you know, a handful that would go to Portland or to Fresno, but – you know, hypothetically, they have 100 fans and we have 100. There's 200 fans and two games that we don't want, you know. We travel an hour, hour and a half max, and we're back home at the end of the game. So, yeah, I just, like I said, I'd keep up the work. You know, sorry to hear the stuff that's going on locally at home. Hopefully the teams work with you and have etiquette. You know, like I said, there's a little bit of stuff going on here with, you know, I've got people calling my players, recruiting players. I've got people recruiting my players right off Facebook, but, you know, luckily.
Oh, man,
right.
I had a team just go straight down my Facebook list and recruit my sister. That's how bad it is. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
No integrity and no respect.
Well, there's no ethics. There's no ethics.
Yeah.
Or truth about it. Well, and
that's why people
think
it's sick. You know?
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, and that's why people feel that teams can't get along. But if the two teams sat together prior to the development of the other team and was willing to come to the table, which my door has been open since day one, I promote that every day on the show, that I don't care if it's another team. But let's sit down and say, hey, these are the guidelines that we're both going to follow and not be dirty. You know, we got to be the example. Somebody got to be the example that it can exist. If not, we will never know. If you're not willing to want to work it out, then you're part of the problem. You know,
yeah.
Things are going to exist no matter what. You might as well work together. I ain't saying, you know, hold hands and sing Kumbaya all day. No. I'm saying come up to the table and say, hey, these are the things that we're going to do. We're not going to follow up your sponsor. We're not going to follow up your players. There's going to be a period of time where, hey, you know, when the season's over with to 2 months after the season, you know, the girls get to touch and feel what the other organization is all about. And then at that point, they need to make a decision on which way they're going to go. That's very respectable.
It is.
But when people don't want to come to the table, then it doesn't happen.
Well, and I've even, you know, I've got players coming out, and, you know, they ask, well, what's the blitz? You know, you used to coach blitz and this and that, and, you know, I'm putting a lot of promotion out for tonight for the blitz. But anyway, I say, yeah, go check them out. I support them 100%. They're great, you know, they're a great organization. They're playing in a league. We're not playing in a league. We're able to play other teams. You know, and we, you know, the girls that have that question, we encourage them to go check them out, and they wind up coming to us in the long run, which is good. But, you know, it's some of the tactics, you know, are sort of backfiring on teams, sort of which are eventually going to backfire on the teams down your way, from what I, you know, because they're same stuff sort of happening down your way too. But, you know, stay strong and, you know, keep your girls strong and, yeah, keep promoting football. Like, you know, I look forward to it.
Oh, yeah, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that anyway. And like I said, yes, I'm arrogant. And, yes, I think I'm the best coach, you know, with what I have to work with. I don't have superstars. I make a team concept, you know what I'm saying? So my
yeah.
thing is you can take everything from me. That's not going to stop me from getting you on the field with the group that I do have and kick your ass. That's how – if I do it, I'm going to do it. If I don't, I accept the fact that I lost. That's just football. But I never go into a game thinking that I'm going to lose.
I don't think any player or any coach does, you know, that is an actual athlete or an actual coach. You know, even though, you know, we got beat by you, and it's embarrassing to say this on live on air, but, the, you know, stats are stats, and you can find them, but we got beat by you 55-0 in that game. I felt we had your guys' number, and, you know, but the stuff that's happened on the team, things happen, you know, my lack of experience, and I take all the blame because I've got a great coaching staff. I got a big coaching staff. And long story short, we come out of the game 55-0. You know, after the game, you know, you meet up with our team, talk, and have some fun. And, you know, we instead of rivals on the field, we're friends after. And, you know, your team drinks with our team and our team drinks with your team. And that's how it should be. But, yeah, we all coach to win. And I think
– Yeah, we all coach to win.
I think wholeheartedly.
I've never gone into a game where I heard a coach say, oh, shit, we're about to lose this game. When is this game going to be over? I never heard a coach say that. True coach. You know, you always think there's a chance, no matter what the outcome is or what the other team has better than you. Hey, Coach, I got to let you go. I'm finishing up. I'm still at work. I'm about to get up out of here. I haven't checked my message. I've been walking around, closing down, doing what I do. Hey, this is Coach Lee, four-quarter Coach Lee, PMPC. Hey, you know what I said? You can call in. Don't be shy. You know, if you got something on your mind, let it be known. Throw it out there. Make it happen. You know what I'm saying? We can't communicate if we don't communicate. If the door is open, come on in. If the window's open, come on in. Let the wind blow. But the fact is, you know, Coach Lee is just real. I tell it like it is. You might not like it. Hey, but you don't have to. You ain't got to love me. Respect me. That's all I want. You know, I give you your respect. You give me my respect. You'll take care of it on the football field. Hey, communicate. Make that decision. If you're not happy, don't stay. Go. If you don't want to go, then stay. That's the simple fact of football. It's a factual sport. You don't almost score a touchdown. Either you do or you don't. You don't almost make a tackle. You either do or you don't. You don't always. You don't. I'm just talking. Look at me. You're trying to finish up the show. But anyway, yo, I am out of here. I got to go. My grandparents are in town. I am going downtown to my grandparents. I will talk to you guys later. You can drop an email to me. Again, I will share the information that was shared to me about coaching and all of the other stuff because you have a better understanding. So I'm here to teach. That's what I do. Instead of something from the heart. Mostly, I'm out. Peace. What the rhyme?